He's a first and the last, the beginning and the end. He lives forevermore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one else can compare to the great and mighty King. Ancient of days, he's the first and the last.
He's the first and
the last.
The beginning and the end.
He lives forevermore.
He lives forevermore.
No one else can compare.
No one else can compare
to the great and mighty King.
To the great and mighty King.
Ancient of days.
Ancient of days.
He's the first and the last.
He's the first and the last.
The beginning and the end.
The beginning and the end.
He lives forevermore.
He lives forevermore.
No one else can compare.
No one else can compare
to the great and mighty King.
To the great and mighty King.
Ancient of day.
Ancient of day.
The song we sing.
The song.
The air we breathe. It all belongs to you, Lord. God of everything. We praise your name. Your name will shout for joy and will say, ah, 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 God of everything, heaven and earth adore, the air and all that move. His name, he is God, he's God of everything. He's the first and the last,
he's the first and
the beginning and the end.
He
lives forevermore,
he lives forevermore.
No one else can compare,
no one else can compare
to the great and mighty King, ancient of days. The song we sing,
the song,
the air we breathe,
air,
it all belongs to you, Lord, God of everything.
God of
we
everything.
Praise your name,
we praise
your name, we shout for joy, and we'll say, heaven and earth adore, the air and all that move, we'll say, glory to the King, we magnify his name. He is God, he's God of everything.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Denise Deering, and it is my honor to be reading the scripture this morning. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3 and can be found on page 244 and 245 in your pew Bibles. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word.
You should get an award for reading that entire chapter.
Thanks be to God. I shared with the early service, I was thinking about giving the sermon, the message to our children and youth, and the thought came to me that if church is never fun, then it's never a place for children. If the church is not a place of laughter, then they will have nothing to say or to share. And if they can't make mistakes, if there's no place, no room for mistakes, then they will never rise up to lead like they're called to do. So let this be the place where we can have fun in God. The joy of the Lord is our strength, no? Where they can have fun, where they can laugh, and where they can make mistakes. I hope you feel welcome this morning, and I hope that I speak to you in this message. It is titled, "Here I Am." Parents call children for dinner, for bath, and bedtime. Only one of the three is acknowledged with regularity. More often than not, parents have to call their children again and again. Can I get an amen? Because seemingly there are times when children do not want to hear their parents calling. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. If the calling is to come inside when playing with friends or to pause a video game, then they feign deafness. Huh? Ma'am? If the calling is to do homework or chores, then it is accepted begrudgingly. If the calling is to put down your phone or pick up a fork, or tell your parents about your day, it is met with tension. To eat or not to eat, that is the question. Because the youth will not survive apart from their phones and need to send just one last text message. Because to disconnect from social media is death. Like the commands of Jesus, these are hard sayings for them. But blessed are those who make their beds, for they shall sleep soundly. Blessed are those who take out the trash, for their meals will be provided. Blessed are those who do their homework, for they will receive good grades if they faint not. But, amen. Blessed are the obedient, for they will inherit this house when I die. The question follows then, didn't you hear your parents calling you? Teenagers and those not far away from this golden age may begin to think that their parents' callings are too frequent. They may wander in their heads or behind closed doors and not within earshot for security reasons. What is she calling me for now? My gosh! What does Dad want now? Though our parents have given us our name, we don't want to hear them call it. The calling of parents as we get older can only mean one of two things. I have done something wrong, or you want me to do something. Either way, it is punishment. And becoming a teenager means that they find their voice and aim to express themselves. Somehow the hormones go straight to their heads. Well, deeper voices and facial hair are confused with maturity and wisdom. Changing figures don't realize that it costs to be the boss. So our parents are quick to remind us that adulthood comes with responsibilities, like rent or a mortgage, neither of which you pay. 1 year older, from child to youth, parents are rendered ignorant of all there is to know about the world when their child crosses that enviable line to become 13. Parents' lack of knowledge only increases as their children grow older. At first, parents are thought to be out of touch, but by the time their children are in college, parents are rendered senile. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing to her. Just don't, she don't understand. Don't say nothing to her. And our children will call us less for answers. Instead, they will ask their friends or their phones. Rolling their eyes only completes the circle of life. Nothing new under the sun or our roofs. Our youth are only doing what we did to our parents, who will consider their behavior payback. Get no sympathy here. At some point, and perhaps over the course of our lives, we will look at our children as if facing a mirror and say, "Here I am." Our children and youth have a way of calling attention to the best and worst in us. And if we do not face it in us, then we will see it in them. Edwin Cole, the founder of Christian Men's Network, said, "A man must talk to God about his children before he talks to his children about God." If we do not have a personal relationship with God, then we introduce God to our children as the holy stranger. Consequently, they are conditioned to be nice to God while having no knowledge of who God is. Reverend Charles Spurgeon, a 19th century preacher, said years earlier, "Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself." Because it is not enough to give directions. Children and youth need parents to be guides, and how will they walk with God if they don't have your footsteps to follow in? The importance of our parents and our relationship with God cannot be underestimated, because how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how can they call on God if you don't tell them about their divine parent? And how can they believe except you tuck them in with sacred stories about God? How can they hear the gospel apart from you? And how will they come to church unless we take them? And how will they know that it is the voice of the Lord that calls them, or to say, "Here I am," if their parents are not familiar with the sound? I was called to preach the gospel at the age of 17. I went to my favorite deacon at the time and said, "I want to preach." I was ready to say, "Here I am." Instead, the deacon suggested that I teach Sunday school. While not a demotion, it was certainly a detour, because preaching was thought to be a man's job. Because the pulpit was no place for a woman, this deacon could not affirm the conversation that God was having with me. But the word of the Lord was not rare in those days for me. I taught Sunday school, but the deacon's words did not plug my ears. God was still calling me, and I heeded the call to preach while in college. I was a member at another church by this time, and the pastor agreed. He had heard it too. I've since graduated from seminary, and I serve with you today, but the need to declare, "Here I am," has continued. While far, very far from the days of my youth, persons continue to challenge my ability to lead. and question. I am often questioned if I've heard the Lord. But God is still speaking. Today I realize and share with other women in ministry, if you don't see her, be her. If you don't hear her, speak up. The woman in ministry that you are waiting for is you. But if I had discounted the voice of God as a teenager, if I had feigned deafness or rolled my eyes at the thought of God calling me, I would not be standing before you here today. And God has not stopped calling children to serve as priests and prophets. While I know that we want our children to become movie stars and sports stars so that they can become famous and make us rich and pay off our mortgage, I do pray that we would listen for God's calling on their lives. While this morning's message is inspired by the calling of Samuel as recorded in the Old Testament, I pray that we not deem it irrelevant or assume that it has nothing to say to this generation or the ones to follow. Instead, Thomas Watson said, the two testaments are the two lips by which God has spoken to us. Thus, without one, we do not have the full expression of the other. And we need the story of Samuel's calling. Samuel is a prayer answered. His mother Hannah was barren and had prayed for a child. She went to the temple and pleaded with God, promising that if given a son, she would give him back in service to God. We often talk about those who make a deal with the devil. But Hannah has made a deal with God. She said to Eli the priest, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." And she left him in the temple for the Lord. So the temple is literally Samuel's house. And though the word of the Lord is rare during this time, having no reports of the sight or sound of divine happenings, Samuel has a direct line of communication. God calls Samuel by name. Whatever his age, his ears are deemed old enough to hear the voice of God. "Here I am." Samuel gets up from his bed, not for fear of monsters under it. He does not ask Eli for a glass of water or a warm cup of milk. No, he has gotten up because someone is calling him by name. And he's called more than once. Stirred from his sleep, "This is not a dream. Here I am." Thankfully, Eli is familiar with the voice of the Lord and instructs Samuel on how to answer God's calling. Unlike the deacon with whom I shared mine, Eli tells Samuel that it is not him who is calling. And in fact, no human being calls us to ministry. It is only God who does the choosing and who extends the invitation. An apprentice, Samuel is learning about discernment. He is hearing deeply and doesn't even know it. So clear is the voice of God, so familiar that Samuel thinks that he's heard it before. But more than a voice, the writer says the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." "Ah, but this is not a child's place. Serving in a church is serious business and requires years of experience, right?" Still, Samuel is not called overnight, but in the middle of a night. This is a wake-up call. And the task that God calls Samuel to is not child's play. This child will bring a word of correction to Eli. The God of reversals, the student becomes the teacher. This child will lead them because God said so. Samuel has no reputation to protect, no family to feed. He is not concerned about job security. He may not have much experience with protocol or be familiar with Eli's resume or reach in the community. He is too young to be afraid, too young to be concerned about the repercussions of his obedience to God. His naivete serves his commitment to God well. Samuel is willing to correct the person in power. It is not a matter of tenure because age is but a number when it comes to God's authority. But this example is not limited to the Old Testament. When the disciples ask Jesus who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the answer surprises them. All of them were ready to give their acceptance speech when Jesus chooses a child. Jesus said, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The key is humility. It is ironic that while our youth are rushing to be adults, God requires us to be children. And it makes sense. As children love to serve, to volunteer, to be involved, and to include others. They take pride in their ability to contribute and raise their hands when asked to help. Ooh, pick me, pick me, pick me. No matter the task, whether line leader or door helper, they want to be called on. Children do not shy away from being called upon. Instead, they practically leap from their seats to serve. Ooh, pick me, pick me, pick me. They give their excitement sound. They make known their availability. They make a visible demonstration of their willingness to participate. And you only have to call for assistance once. If we could all be like Samuel, like children, who when they hear the voice of the Lord say, here I am. God, we confess that you are the voice who called forth the earth into existence and who whispered in the ear of the prophet Elijah. Your voice causes the earth to tremble, yet you also speak still and small. Thank you for reminding us that you talk to children like Samuel, that you give them positions of service in your house, that they can offer correction, that you trust them with spiritual matters. We ask that you cultivate our ears to hear you and that you create a desire for holy conversation, that we enter the world all ears. We want your voice to resonate with us and to resound in the earth. Remind us that you can call us at any time and from anywhere in business suit and bedclothes. In Jesus' name, in the name of the word that walks and talks, we pray. Amen. Now I have preached my heart out. And now I'm